reading tonight can be found in the book of Isaiah, and it's on page 693 of the Bibles in the pews, 693. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. So it's page 693 in the pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is God's word.
Shall we pray? Father, you are the God who speaks. You have spoken to your people. You have spoken to the world in so many ways over the ages. We ask you, please, to speak to us here tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Carol has introduced me to the delights of Strictly Come Dancing. Not actually doing the dancing, watching it on the telly. If I tried dancing, I'm not sure the word strictly would apply. The problem came when, with almost every celebrity, I said, "Who's that?" And the winning guy, whose name I forgot to write down before I came out tonight, I never even heard of. I came to like him quite a lot, actually, as I watched him. But you'll have to tell me later who he was. But anyway, it was fascinating. I got more and more drawn in as the series went on. Second only to Downton Abbey. This is pretty sad, isn't it? And you'll see which way this is going now, because you think, oh, dear, oh, dear. We were blessed a few months ago by a quiz whose aim was to raise funds for our mission overseas. And a family who are present here tonight, but I won't embarrass them by naming them, were responsible for putting that quiz together. And I couldn't understand half of it, especially when we got to the music round. And they said, they just quoted lines out of particular songs. I didn't have a clue, even when they told us the answer. I've never even heard of the band, let alone understood the point of the song. So this is my chance for revenge, because we are going to have a quiz tonight, and only about one third of us are going to have a clue of what I'm on about. The rest of you will just have to go home and watch it on YouTube or look it up in your history books. Just feel sorry for me, that's all right. But what I want to do tonight is ask you, particularly the older ones, but the rest of you can read your history books, to try and identify the year in which these different events happened. Now, I need to tell you in advance that some of them are deliberately amusing, but some of them are not. So I'm not doing the amusing thing just to soften you up and then hit you with something really hard. I'll try and explain in a moment what I'm trying to do. But I just wonder, first of all, if you could... One, please, that's one. Right, that one. Now, I thought initially it was an advert for Pan Am, the airline that went bust, where the ladies, the stewardesses, and that had a uniform system rather similar to that. But it's not, because you can see the name right across the top of the screen. Let's click the next one just to get the overlay. You might have guessed, this is the year in which Barclaycard was launched. 1Now, you get a point for the name of the program. And it's a clue to the year in which it was made, of course. Let's let them off there. Did anybody get that?
Yes.
I believe you. Okay. Notice one or two of the older ones said they got it. But anyway, now I want you to tell me what make of car this is.
Old.
In the year of which I'm speaking, that was cutting edge-ish. It's a Hillman, let's see it, it's a Hillman Hunter. In the stage of the British motor industry where we still hadn't quite realised how dreadful our cars were, the rude truth was about to dawn on us. Now, I did warn you that they're not all up there for a laugh. The question is, what year is this? So some of you may have got it. Don't spoil it for the others by yelling out, but you may recognise references to the Aberfan colliery disaster in which a spoil tip collapsed. Not that different, come to think of it, from what's just happened in China. Except this one engulfed a school. We have the next one, Graham, please. I haven't even bothered putting a second caption up on that. It speaks for itself. All these things, from the banal launching of the Hillman Hunter to the probably rather more significant launching of the Barclay card, considering how credit runs our lives these days, through Aberfan, through the Moors murders. Let's have the next one. John Lennon saying, he didn't say oops, I said oops. He said, we're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. You're still trying to find the year. Some of you may have got it already. It gets really, really easy in a moment. Let's see this one. Might be one or two who still say, what? Let's have the caption, please. Bald man in winning team. Yes! And the year is 1966. And the next one, Graham, thank you. How many of you got to 66 before I got to the end of that lot? Let's have a hands up. All right, you can tell the old... No, I can't. Sorry, the lady put her hand up then. Well, I warned you it was odd. And one other thing, and actually that was just a long intro as to the point I was going to try and get to, which is this next one. Something else appeared in 1966. Simon and Garfunkel's record, Parsley Sage, Rosemary and Thyme, which I think we've got. You tend to hang on to the music that you played at college or earlier. And the reason I've got that up on the screen is because of the song at the very end of it. Now, I wonder how well you, the older ones, know their Simon and Garfunkel. And if you can remember, there's an old rocker on the back there. You must have played these a few times. The very last song will blow up the words at the back, at the bottom of there. The very last song. 7 o'clock news, stroke, silent night. That may have left just about all of you completely cold. But I'll try and explain why. Graham's going to do a really ingenious technical sleight of hand now because he's going to move away from PowerPoint and he's going to show us a video.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
I cannot sing Silent Night these days without expecting that voice to appear in the background. I don't mean that that track has ruined Silent Night for me. Exactly the opposite. We're going to sing it during communion later. I hope I manage to get through communion because it stops me in my tracks every time we sing it. Because we could run the same thing again now, couldn't we, with our own newsreel. I'm glad I found on YouTube that one that somebody had kindly put together with the text coming up, because you'd have found it hard, I guess, to understand what the guy was saying. And some of us are old enough to remember the issues that were being mentioned in that film. But we could, some ingenious person here tonight could possibly put that together again. That would be really interesting. If anybody fancies that as a project, put the words of Silent Night with a new newsreel running. It would be very, very interesting. You could have Syria coming up. You could have refugees coming up. You could have floods in Cumbria, which may not seem too serious to us down here, but you ask somebody who lives up there. Paris terrorism. You could go on and on and on. And of course, as we tend to do at this time of year, perhaps more on Christmas Eve, but let's do it a week early, you probably already may have begun to reflect on this last year of your own. You may have written Christmas letters. Some of us do write round-robin letters to people and get others in. And whether you've got time to read your friends' letters, I don't know. But they often try and summarise what this year has been like. Our year was pretty good. So a friend of ours writing to us, just a card, said, I thought noticeably flatly as the first line inside the card, thank you for your interesting news. My year hasn't been so good. She's got two sons. One of them has just been asked by his wife for a divorce, and he didn't see it coming. And the other son was a keen motorcyclist and crashed. And his body has physically healed, but he's so brain damaged he'll be in a special unit for the rest of his life. It's a mother describing what's happened to her two sons. She didn't need to say 2015 hasn't been that good. This isn't meant to make you feel miserable. I'm just trying to say that life's a mix, isn't it, of the everyday, the humdrum, the banal, the trivial, and then the absolutely awful, whether you read it in a headline or whether it's something that happens to you. And all the time, the carol Silent Night is playing. And I wondered whether Simon and Garfunkel were actually sort of having a dig against Christianity. Were they trying to show the irony or the futility of the Christian faith by, you know, playing a rather twee carol, you might have said, and then putting that stuff up? Were they trying to say, look, guys, this is reality. That stuff is pink and fluffy twaddle. But I read a bit more about particularly Paul Simon. He and Art Garfunkel both were brought up in Jewish backgrounds, but I don't think either of them claimed to be Jewish in the religious sense. But even more recently, and he's still alive, I believe. He's 70 now. That gives some hope for the rest of us. But again and again, people listening to his music have spotted a spiritual dimension in it. He doesn't claim to be a Christian, but he wants to push and explore. I think he's on the way to finding out. I think one of these days he's going to catch on to what he's been on about ever since he recorded that back in 1966. He's open to the possibility of God. I think, and certainly it's how it's been used in my life and in my mind, whatever he may have meant by writing that song, it's meant something deeply profound to me. It's actually brought home to me part of the meaning of that passage in Isaiah. We heard in verse 6. Nigel, do you think you could read verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 9 again?
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
God was bringing, or the prophet Isaiah realized that God was going to bring his light into our darkness, into the darkness of our loneliness and despair, the darkness of broken relationships, the darkness of persecution and poverty and power struggles. God was going to bring light into the darkness that our dear friend experienced as she watched her sons suffer. And Silent Night is saying the same thing. The last verse. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God loves pure light. Radiant beams your holy face with the dawn of saving grace. Jesus, Lord, at your birth. Jesus, Lord, at your birth. I don't imagine necessarily for a moment that I've turned the whole church into Simon and Garfunkel fans, and you may never ever hear the 7 o'clock news stroke Silent Night again. It's worth YouTubing for. But maybe, just maybe, as I can pretty much guarantee you will hear Silent Night sung at least once every Christmas, maybe just something will go ping and you might just hear a newsreel running, or your own life running in front of you and thinking, God knows about this. This is directly connected into my life as God brings his hope. Amen.